this morning. I want to talk about chapter 1 of Ezekiel, and I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 4 through 27. There's this vision in that. Let me remind you of just a few things. Ezekiel, it says in chapter 1, verse 1, that it's the 30th year. I think that means Ezekiel's personal 30th year. It's at age 30 that a Levite, and he is of a Levitical tribe, that they can begin to serve in the temple. And so this is significant because he's away. He's a refugee. He finds himself in what today is Iraq, the ancient nation of Babylon. And he would much rather be back in Jerusalem. And at age 30, he gets to start serving the temple. Only the message in Ezekiel is, you're never going home. And you will never serve in the temple as a priest. And what your life, you thought your life was going to look like, it is not going to look like that. And so get used to it. And there's some pretty straight talk by God to Ezekiel, in which he says, I'm pretty flexible, and you're going to have to be flexible as well. He is away from the temple, and here's why that's significant. The consistent message to Israel in the Old Testament is that God wants to dwell among them, and his glory will be among them. In the Holy of Holies, in the temple. And so if you're away from the temple, and if you're a refugee in Babylon, what today is Iraq, you might be wondering, what about that? What if I can't be there in the presence of God? You see, God, the picture in the Old Testament of God is that he sits enthroned in the Holy of Holies. And this thing, this chest called the mercy seat, serves as kind of an ottoman for him. That's where his feet rest. And he is enthroned between the wings of these two seraphim, these fierce beings. The image of these fierce beings who are symbolically at least kind of his bodyguards. And he rules the whole world from this Holy of Holies. And Israel is to be an example, a light to the nations, and the nations are to all stream to Jerusalem. Well, what happens to that picture when you're a refugee in Babylon? And you're having to rethink what you've always thought about God and how God works. That's the situation Ezekiel finds himself in. God, what are you doing? And God, who are you? I thought I knew who you were, and now you've pulled a fast one on me. And things are not turning out as I thought they would turn out. I'm going to read in just a moment from Ezekiel 1, 4 through 27. But before I read that, I want to remind you of something, and that is in 4 through 14. It seems to me the picture is a picture of the Holy of Holies. And these creatures that are the bodyguards of God. And then in verses 15 and following, what we find out is that this picture, this vision of the Holy of Holies, what you find out is what nobody ever knew before, there's wheels. And God is not going to confine himself simply to Jerusalem. God's portable. That's the message in this vision. You may say, well, how do you know this is talking about God? Read the very last verse, the last part of the last verse, verse 27. And it starts talking about the glory of God. That's holy of holy languages, language, vocabulary. So let me read this. I know this is a long reading, but I want to encourage you to listen carefully, to follow in your Bible as well, perhaps. Chapter 1, verse 4. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had human faces, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings, and their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. And underneath their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. And the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. And the four had the face of a lion on the right side. And the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. And each creature had two wings, and each of which touched the wing of the other, while the two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. For as the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearances of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, for one for each of the four of them. And as the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. And when they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went. And their rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. And wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And when those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse shining like an awe-inspiring crystal spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another. And each creature had two wings covering his body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in the appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire, enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And I heard the voice of one speaking. In spite of all of these guys and all of these documentaries on the Discovery Channel and the History Channel, this is not talking about a UFO. You can actually find people that make that claim. What Ezekiel saw was not a vision. He saw a UFO. I can kind of see where they're coming from. But chapter 1, verse 28, the last part of that verse makes it very clear. We're talking here about the glory of God. It is the Almighty. It is the presence of the Almighty. And what in this vision, what we find out is that God's throne has wheels. God, and the message is, it seems to me, the message is to Ezekiel, who is concerned because he is in Babylon and God's throne is in Jerusalem, is you don't have to assume God is only in Jerusalem. God has wheels. God can go anywhere He wants to. He can go in any direction He wishes to. And that should be an assurance to you, Ezekiel. He knows where you're at. He knows what is going on with you. He has not forgotten you. He is at work not simply in Jerusalem. He is at work in this whole world. And He will go wherever He can find folks that will line up with Him. That's what He'll do. God can reign. And the idea of God in the Holy of Holies is not just that He's resting there. He is reigning there. One scholar puts it this way when he talks about the Holy of Holies. He says you need to think about the Holy of Holies as a control booth. It is where God is controlling the whole world. And the message in Ezekiel is God can control the world from anywhere, not simply Jerusalem. Which is good news for a refugee like Ezekiel. That God has wheels. God is on the move. It's good news to disappointed and displaced exiles in what today is Iraq, Babylon, in the ancient world. And what Ezekiel calls, the book of Ezekiel calls this prophet and the people he speaks to do is to rethink God. It's probably a good idea to rethink God every once in a while and not assume that we know everything about God and what God will do. It's probably a good idea to keep looking at Scripture and saying to ourselves, as we read the Bible, what does this tell me about God? And what am I learning about God I may not have realized before? It's not that God changes, it's just we don't realize it. We don't apprehend everything all at once. Lemons, years and years ago, I read something he said about the Bible. He said, anytime you read the Bible, you're taking a calculated risk that you may learn something you never knew before. I think that's a good way to think about it. The Bible does not change, but our apprehension of it may improve. Our understanding of the Scripture and our understanding then of what the Scripture tells us about God and about us may change. And what it seems to me that the book of Ezekiel is saying and what this vision as this book begins, what it tells us is that God loves the whole world. Why else would He want wheels? But that He is investing Himself in this whole world. In our class this morning and in the sermon 2 weeks ago, I talked about this God. It's a major theme in the book of Ezekiel that God wants to be known. And what you discover as you follow that phrase throughout the book of Ezekiel is He does not simply want to be known by the refugees in Babylon. He does not simply want to be known by the people of Israel, the Jews. He wants to be known by the whole world. When John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, that is not new information. That is an echo of story after story and time after time in the Old Testament where it is made very clear God loves the whole world. If you read the book of Exodus, it's clear that God wants Israel to know who He is, but it's just as clear that God wants Egypt to know who He is and that He cares about them. And here's why I think this is important. This idea of God who is portable. This God who is a God on the move. Because why it tells us something about His nature. And maybe we should ask the question, why does He have wheels? He has wheels because He loves people and He's going to pursue them. And He's going to go where they are. And he will, and if one group of people will not pay Him any mind, He will find someone who will. And it may surprise you who He will use. And what this tells me, what this vision tells me, what I hope it would tell you, God loves our city. Even all the bad drivers, God loves them. God loves your neighbors. God loves the people who bug you, who may not like you. God loves them. God loves those who irritate you. God loves the leaders of our city. God loves your co-workers. God loves the people on TV and who write in the newspapers and in the magazines. God loves them. And if He gets any idea that they will pay attention to Him, He'll pursue them. Because He's got wheels and He's on the move. God loves school teachers. And principals, superintendents. God loves pupils, students. God loves parents, and God loves children, and God loves the homeless. And God loves the wicked. You want to talk about some wicked people? Talk about the Babylonians. But God has wheels and God loves the Babylonians. God loves the rebellious. And God will pursue human beings in this world. And He's portable. He can move about. I heard someone say one time in talking about evangelism, there is no place in the whole world where you can go to share the gospel that God's not ahead of you at work. Why do we support mission work in Mexico City? Because God is at work in that great city. And He lets us help Him. God loves every one of those 32 million people that live in that great city. He loves them. He loves the drug lords. And He loves the corrupt politicians. And He loves the poverty-stricken people and the people who are homeless in that city. He loves our brethren, but He doesn't just love our brethren. And this vision of God who is enthroned, He is king, but who has wheels. A wheel within a wheel. It can go any direction. And He may surprise us the direction He goes in. God is relentless. God does not give up easily. He does not quit. And if he quits on somebody, he only does so with sadness. I sometimes wonder, what is God doing now? What is God doing in our community? What is God doing in our country? What is God doing in our world? When we watch the news, try to take a step back and put your emotions on hold and ask a question. Where is God in this situation? What might God be doing in this circumstance? That's a question we need to ask more often. Where is God and what might He do? And who is He pursuing? In churches of Christ, we have some history. It goes back to the early 1800s in the United States of preachers from lots of different denominations who became a part of what they called a Back to the Bible movement. Maybe you've heard of Thomas and Alexander Campbell, who started out as Presbyterian ministers and who, separate from one another, came to some conclusions that they found they agreed on. And they started finding others who had done that same thing. Now, that's interesting history, but one of the things that I would challenge you to do is to ask, what was God doing there? It's a reminder to us that God has wheels. And God will use whoever He finds that are willing to line up with Him. I wonder what God is doing in our world right now among all of those who are religious. I wonder if He's going to surprise us. Who knows what God may do? That God is not confined to the Church of Christ. God loves us and He's interested in us, but God is interested in other folks. That's His history. And I wonder what God may be doing. We need to be asking that question, I think. What is God doing in our world? God is relentless. God does not give up. I think that what Ezekiel finds in this book is a surprise to him. 30 years old, Levitical priest, but he's still learning some things about God that he didn't know before.